Epic City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball. Once again, my name is Clarence Hughes.
And I'm Stephen Munson. Clarence, we're in episode 2. We made it.
We did it. We did it. We're done.
We have an episode 2. It's officially off the ground. We're officially off the ground as a podcast.
Yeah, we're off the ground, but we got a long way to go. So again, thank you all for tuning in and listening to us ramble and, you know, talk to your favorite athletes. We hope you're enjoying it. You know, if you're not, you can always reach out to us at the USAV show at usav.org. Give us a like, comment, subscribe, anything you want to hear for future episodes. We're open to it. Just let us know. We will respond to you. We're not ghosts. We will not just leave you on read. We're here for it. But again, looking to give you an exclusive, interactive and just personal, toned down approach. That's just authentic and real. And that's what the podcast is about. Without further ado, what's episode 2 about,
Steve? Yeah, episode 2, we're going to continue the Tokyo conversation and the 100 days hype. We have a great interview, guest interview lineup with Tori Dixon from the women's national team. And then Eric Soji from the men's national team. And our first guest here, Tori Dixon. She'll talk a little bit about what would it mean to make the Tokyo roster. And then she'll go into her experience and perspective from the Athletes Unlimited League. So here we go with Tori's interview.
Wait. Steven, you forgot the third guest, your mustache. Remember?
Yeah, my the mustache is now a podcast celebrity. So you can find that picture on the podcast page on the website, usavolleyball.org.
But yeah, without further ado, here's our Tori Dixon interview.
Tori, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing well. We are getting through the week.
Doing great. Right, yeah.
No, hanging in there.
Yeah, it's only Wednesday.
To kick things off, we wanted to, we're all really excited about Tokyo. The postponement last year was a huge bummer. I'm sure for the athletes as well to kind of refocus themselves for 2021 was very difficult and challenging. But you yourself had a pretty significant injury, a torn ACL in 2016 that you suffered during your professional season. And kind of took your chances out for Rio. But we wanted to talk about how that affected you mentally, and how did you refocus, your motivation to push for Tokyo, this quad?
Yeah. I mean, I obviously it was devastating. The injury was okay. A torn ACL in, a different year would have been okay, fine, whatever. I can rehab from this, but it was really hard mentally to come in there every day and, see all the girls prepping for Tokyo. But at the end of the day, like, I was just trying to be a really good teammate and a really good voice on the sideline wherever I could help out. And so that's how I just refocused in 2016. Obviously, I was crushing rehab. I was in there for so many hours of the day, but I did try to stay as involved as possible, like shagging balls, just getting feedback where I can. And so I think that kind of helped me in preparation for this squad. Obviously, I'm one of the older ones, a quote unquote veteran. I hate that word, but it's crazy because I definitely don't feel like a veteran. But that comes with a bigger leadership role and having to help some young faces and some of my younger teammates and things like that. So I think that injury really set me up for this squad, being on the leadership council on our team and being one of the old parts on the team. So it helped definitely define that role for me a little bit, and also just more experience. Like, and you also kind of realize, like, the Olympics isn't everything. It's a whole quad of work, and I missed one and that sucked, but I'm just trying to be good for my teammates. So yeah.
What would it mean for you personally to make the roster for Tokyo? What would that mean to you?
Yeah, it would mean a lot. Like, it's always been a dream of mine ever since I was growing up watching volleyball. I used to watch, you know, this might age them a little, so they might not like this, but I used to watch Jordan Larson and Feluca on the TV when I was like in high school. And I was like, I want to be them. So
I love that. I love that. Yeah.
So it's really cool, like getting to play alongside of them and, get to compete with all these amazing women. And, it would mean a lot for sure. All the hard work would be worth it. All the hours of rehab, hours, lots of hours.
Yeah, I can't imagine after going through that injury in 2016, you know, how incredible that would feel for you to make that roster in Tokyo. And we're all rooting for you for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to circle back around, just to bring up the, you know, new professional volleyball league here in the United States, which is amazing. Athletes Unlimited, you've been, heavily involved in it up to, a certain extent. We just want to know what that league means to you. And if you have any advice for, you know, young female athletes who are coming up and, you know, have the option to turn on the TV and watch their professional athletes play and live out their dreams. So, you know, just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, I was a part of Athletes Unlimited for all of, 3 weeks. For people who don't know, I got injured there, so I ended up coming home, but I loved every second of it. It was so much fun and the league was so well run. I felt like I was kind of in college again. Like we had a kind of like, you know how in college, well, maybe people don't know, but in college volleyball, the director of ops who like runs everything and well organized and, very professional, and it was really exciting just like the way they were doing it. It's kind of a different style of volleyball, which was cool. More of a draft system, individual based, but still a lot of team points to be awarded. So it was really fun. And one of my favorite things about Athletes Unlimited is just the accessibility of it for young fans. I think visibility is huge, and the fact that these matches are being streamed on CBS Sports and FS1, FS2, almost everything is online, on Facebook, Twitch, what else? Twitter, like all these.
YouTube.
Yeah. Everything. It's just very accessible. So I think that's huge. And it's really cool to see these young fans on the TV too. They try to do like little interviews and it's cool. Like seeing these young players like, oh, I want to be Jordan Larson or whatever, you know, it's different and it hasn't been done here like this before. So I'm really excited and hoping that this continues on for many, many years.
What does the league mean? And you played professionally overseas in a few different countries. But what does that mean for a US athlete to know that there's an option for them in the US if they want to stay home? You know, they have family here. They're not quite ready to go overseas. For what is it, like 8 months for a season typically?
Long.
Yeah, too long. What does that mean?
It's huge, honestly. It was, I personally kind of made this decision a while ago, but I know I'm a lot happier with shorter seasons, which is why I choose to play in China. Obviously, there's a lot of factors going into that, but I know that the work-life balance per se isn't as high as when I'm, going to Europe for X amount of months of the year. So just knowing that there's always a good option for professional volleyball in the States is huge, and it's everything, and it's being encouraged. And all the coaches are like, yeah, if you want to do this, this is always a great option. And I think that's really cool. And I just think people are going to be able to play for longer. Honestly, like playing overseas takes a huge toll on you mentally and physically, being away from friends and family. And if this league can be sustainable, you have girls dropping out before their, quote unquote peak. Maybe this will keep like young women in the sport for longer. And that's really cool. And a good option for people who maybe love volleyball and are really great athletes, but don't want to go overseas for 9 months of the year. So, it's just really cool to have this opportunity.
That's really cool. What about specifically, what does it mean for the USA pipeline, you know, keeping the US athletes in the country? How does that affect the pipeline? Does it strengthen it significantly?
Yeah, I think it strengthens the USA pipeline for sure for younger players. Typically, the college season ends around December and this league starts in February. So that's a great little segue, I guess, into the professional world. If you guys, if people choose to go overseas or if people want to go on the national team, like it keeps girls playing for that 4 months. Because a lot of girls, when they're done with college, are like, oh, I don't know about professional volleyball because you have to go overseas. So maybe this will keep girls who are on the fence. Maybe that'll push them over the fence to continue this profession. And yeah, I'm hoping that it helps the USA pipeline. I think it'll keep girls playing for longer. Like I said, like I just feel like, okay, I'm not there yet, but in a few years, maybe I don't want to go overseas. Maybe, but maybe I'll be able to play Athletes Unlimited instead. And yeah, so I think it'll help the US pipeline for sure. And especially like having this high level volleyball, maybe it'll motivate young girls to keep pursuing volleyball, which is cool.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's huge that, you know, it's getting some national coverage too, where young girls can just flip on the TV and, you know, see their heroes basically playing volleyball and kind of envision themselves getting to that point one day. So that's super cool.
I don't know. I have like some of my younger neighbors texting me, like, they have, and they're like, what type of the game on? Like, they love it. So I'm just really happy that it's finally being brought to the US on such a national level. And it's very accessible. Like, it's just easy. You don't have to search little, like, your random European sketchy links.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I also can't wait for the, you know, return of fans and, you know, next season of AU Volleyball, hopefully, sure, you know, fingers crossed. But I know that's going to add an entirely different element to just the atmosphere of the game, because it seems like the camaraderie of, you know, all you individual players is amazing, you know, just given everyone's background and just to be able to add that soon. It's exciting.
For sure. It was such a cool environment, too. Like, and they're doing it's not a true bubble, but it's what they call a shield. Mm-hmm. For the players, so we weren't allowed to do a lot of things, but hopefully as the years go on, it'll be more like just that work-life balance. Like, you'll be able to go out to restaurants with some of the teammates and do these fun things. We were pretty limited, we weren't allowed to do any of that, but we were in the middle of like downtown Dallas. They were talking about, oh, it was Nashville before. I'm like, that would have been so cool to be able to like just have fun with your friends too. Like, people forget that these are, I mean, 40 young women, and it's just fun to be like hanging out with people you played with your whole life. And it was almost a little reunion of sense. So it was really cool. I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your day to sit down with us and be one of our first guests on the new USA Volleyball Show podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Tori Dixon's journey with the women's national team has been a tough one for her, and an incredible story too, of just resilience with her injuries, her torn ACL, that kind of kept her from making the roster for Rio. But we're certainly excited and cheering her on to make the Tokyo roster heading into the games this summer.
Yeah, definitely a big applause and shout out to you, Tori, for, you know, being able to, you know, overcome the injuries that have, you know, come to the forefront of your career. It's not easy overcoming, you know, those things, and for her to be able to continue to compete at such a high level, you know, on the women's indoor team, it's incredible. In addition to, you know, just mentally needing to adjust to the hectic 2020 season, just throwing that in the pot, just, you are very strong. You're amazing. And, you know, again, we wish you the best of luck through all of that, because it's not easy.
Yeah, for sure. Something that younger athletes who, you know, have had injuries, have struggled with injuries, that have kept them from volleyball, something for them to definitely look up to, someone for them to look up to, and to inspire them. So, definitely check out Tori's, social media, follow her. We're excited for her.
Yeah. And again, just to touch base on that one more time, I know she hates the word veteran, and I'm sorry to call you a veteran, Tori, but again, being able to continue to be that leader for her teammates, you know, while not even physically being able to compete on the court at times, just strengthens that passion and that camaraderie when, you know, she is on the court. And that's something you just can't teach.
Yeah. She's definitely a leader on the team. I've gotten to see them in the gym and training and at competitions. And you can definitely tell, even with, you know, there's other Olympians on the team. She hasn't made an Olympic roster yet, but there's other Olympians, and you can tell that Tori is definitely well respected in the gym, and the younger athletes coming in definitely look up to her. So it's pretty cool to see and to, you know, to see someone like Tori, who, you know, hasn't made the games yet, hasn't made a roster, but she commands that respect, basically. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, speaking of, I don't want to keep talking about injuries and stuff, but she had a very minor injury that, you know, kept her from competing in the Athletes Unlimited season, but she was very involved at the beginning and helped kick it off too, and supported it along the way.
Yeah. I mean, just to touch base on, you know, we heard a little bit from Jordan in episode one on her AU experience throughout the season. And, you know, I don't want to say it's the same story, but it's very similar, and just a huge shout out and kudos to Athletes Unlimited Volleyball and what they've been able to do with these outstanding athletes and just putting them together under one shield, under one roof. You know, their version of the bubble.
Nice but, use of, you know, just
I'm glad you caught that. But, you know, just the league's very well ran. Yep. It's a different style of volleyball. Again, it's very accessible for young fans who are looking to just watch the sport of volleyball, young athletes who are, you know, fresh out of college and looking for that next step, who aren't quite ready to go play overseas. But it's just, again, just to touch on AU just being bigger than the norm that we're used to here, it's really set up some good expectations for the future. And I can't wait for fans to be able to go see those games live.
Yeah. And just, you know, she touched on what it would mean what it means to have that US league for the USA pipeline, and how it's only going to strengthen the pipeline for the path to the national team. And, you know, like you said, the opportunities the league will give athletes coming out of college to who may not be ready to travel overseas and play 8 months out of the year. The opportunity for them to stay home and be close to family and get that get that same pro level experience a little bit closer to home, which I think is just a huge opportunity. And we're, you know, I'm excited for season two for sure.
Me too. And I hope, like we mentioned here, I hope fans are able to come to the host city to watch games, because I will definitely buy a ticket and, you know, spend a weekend out there watching games and just get my fan on, because it's well overdue.
It's going to be cool to see, you know, how different it is with fans. You know, it's not confirmed yet, you know, that there will be fans, but and host cities haven't been announced, but it will be cool, you know, eventually once fans are allowed there, because the atmosphere just in the arena, you know, with just the players there, it translated through TV. I noticed that, and it's only going to get better from here.
Absolutely. And just again, touching on AU capturing a lot of eyes and just receiving a lot of support over this past, you know, inaugural season. kind of brings us to our next guest and, you know, his, you know, top five plays of the AU weeks as they've gone along. Make sure you get your pens out because he definitely loves to throw pens on his YouTube channel. If you make a play, you go for a ball, you do something outstanding, you will get a pen thrown in your direction. Eric Shoji, member of our men's national team. What a character.
Yeah, Eric Shoji, one of the great personalities on the men's indoor team. So we were very lucky to be able to sit down and talk to him. So here we go. Here's Eric.
I just want to thank you for taking the time and, you know, being part of the new thing here.
Yeah, I'm excited. We know Steven. He's just like around. So we just have to like deal with him sometimes.
I just pop up at events unannounced.
And, literally, you kind of do.
And I usually follow Eric around with a camera and he gets a little annoyed, I think. I don't know.
He's
he throws bottle caps at me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I act annoyed, but I'm like, keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Like the camera time definitely inspired the YouTube channel. I know. It was just linked it. Like, oh my God.
I think it was that first tournament in Colorado. So Clarence, I don't know where you are. Are you in Colorado?
Right now, yes.
Okay. So the next time we have an event there, we can meet. These like events tend to finish with like a fun little outing with a lot of like the team and people. That's all I'm gonna say. But that's how we knew Steven. Not that he did anything unprofessional, if anyone here is listening.
No, not at all. Just a little karaoke.
Oh, we love karaoke.
We do love karaoke at that one bar.
Eric was in the back giving me a hard time. And I tried to get him to come up to sing a duet with me, but he would not. He would not sing with me.
As like,
you can't give me a hard time if you're not going to get up and sing.
No, I actually thoroughly enjoyed you singing. I remember like some country songs. I definitely have it on my phone.
It was Garth Brooks, Friends in Low Places. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I weirdly like don't love karaoke. Like I love to be around it, but then once I have to do it, I freak out.
Well, next time we'll get you up on stage to sing a song.
There was not even a stage.
That's a promise.
So let's not act like this was like a place with a stage.
I felt like there was a spotlight on me anyway.
For sure. I mean, that night,
or maybe it was just
a spotlight on a lot of people.
Just the light from your camera phone, probably.
That might be true.
Well, thanks for joining us, Eric.
Yeah.
I know it's late there. What time is it?
It's 9.
9 in Russia, right?
9 p.m. in Moscow, yes.
And where are you at in the season right now?
We are in playoffs. So Russia it's a different format. We're not doing like quarter semis finals like everyone does. We actually do a final six format similar to VNL and World Championships. So we're currently in the round to get to final six.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good luck.
Thanks. We're one win away. We won last weekend and we have a game on Sunday.
Awesome. Congrats. Yeah, good luck. We'll be cheering you on.
Absolutely. Thanks. So first off, just want to ask who you are. You know, bronze medalist, 2016 Rio Games, libero Eric Shoji. So let's go ahead and kick it off with the first question. Let me get prepared myself 1 second. All right. So as just stated, your first Olympic experience resulted in a bronze medal, which is incredible. But how is that fueling your motivation going into these 2021 games in Tokyo?
Yeah, well, I think a bronze medal is a great accomplishment in any tournament. I mean, in most situations, it's a great accomplishment, but it is like that kind of bittersweet medal, knowing that we were so close to the finals and we were one win away from being in the finals, one set, a couple of points, and we had actually beaten Brazil a couple of days earlier. So we felt like we have some unfinished business. You know, we could be in that final. We want to be in that final. We're going to fight, give everything we can. And that's what we've been doing for the past, 5 years, I guess. So bronze, great, great result. I'm obviously stoked about it, happy about it, but something left to do, a little bit of unfinished business. So I'm excited to get back this summer and start working for it.
What was that bronze medal match like? And I know it was kind of a quick turnaround, like less than 24 hours after that, the semifinal match, that unfortunately lost, but you had to turn around so quickly to play for a medal. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, that was interesting. Steven, I'll correct you. There's actually a day between all the Olympic matches. So
a day, okay.
It's unlike most of the tournaments we play where we're playing back to back, sometimes four matches in a row for a medal.
Okay.
So you do get a good amount of rest, but I would just say it was this crazy emotional time coming off of that loss. And then what was strange about the bronze medal match was that it was at 9 a.m, which volleyball players never play at 9 a.m. So it's something like getting up at 6, we had to, you know, obviously drink our coffee, get our breakfast.
I was gonna say, you haven't even got your coffee yet at that time.
Oh,
I haven't.
It was so strange. And then the other funny story about that match is that we actually couldn't drive to the stadium. It was blocked off because the volleyball arena was directly next to closing ceremonies stadium. And closing ceremonies were probably 6 hours after the bronze medal match. So it was blocked off by police, by military. And we actually ended up walking probably 15, 20 minutes to the arena because we literally could not drive there. And it was raining. We were like in our medal gear or our medal ceremony gear, like hoping that we would win. It was just the weirdest morning. And then we go into the match and we're not playing well. We lose the first two sets. We pretty much get demolished. Russia's doing their thing. They're always in it. They're always good. And then somehow, you know, it was like the rest of the tournament. We came together, we fought, we just started playing a lot better and squeaked it out 15-13. So I would just say it was a weird, strange morning, super emotional. We were still physically exhausted, but I think it was just kind of the theme of our tournament to come back together, play well together, you know, have each other's back and just fight all the way to the end.
I feel like that sounds, you know, pretty on par for an Olympic experience. You know, you hear all these crazy stories about athletes having to, you know, fight with, you know, fight back from things, deal with like hotels and stuff, issues. But it was 8 o'clock in the morning and you had to walk in the rain to your bronze medal match. That's
a story.
Incredible.
It was an experience. I think it almost woke us up in a way, even though we lost the first two sets. It was like, all right, we're about to walk. Like that's going to be half of our warm up here.
Yeah.
So it was an experience. I think even at the Olympic Games, like things don't work perfectly. It's not always going to be smooth. And, you know, we were blocked off from the arena because it was next to the closing ceremony stadium. what is that? But, you know, obviously great memory, great story to tell.
And yeah,
we ended up winning. So can't really complain too much.
Yes. That was an incredible match to watch. I remember we watched it in Colorado Springs at the headquarter office and we were all just going crazy. Especially with that being down two sets and you came back. That was awesome. Looking ahead to Tokyo, what sort of growth have you seen in yourself and from the team, this quad, and I guess now 5 years, right, heading into Tokyo?
Oh, gosh. I mean, so much growth. I think we had so many Olympic rookies the last time that we are all just pretty shell-shocked the first time, that first match coming out, the first couple of matches, and I think 5 years down the road, we just have so much more experience on the international stage. I would say most of us, you know, are starters on our pro teams and playing a lot of Champions League or CEV Cup against the best competition in the world. So I think just physically, we're more experienced, better volleyball players. And then if you wanted to just talk about being, you know, in that emotional state that the Olympic is, we're a little bit more used to it. I hope that we can handle the emotions and the energy of it a little bit better than last time, but I think we're just prepared better. We're older, we're wiser. We've been through life a little bit more, and I think it's going to benefit us in the Olympics.
Yeah, I think that was one of the big storylines was how young the team was. You know, you had David Lee, you had Reed Pretty, your kind of older veterans. But it was such a young team and you guys kind of turned some heads in the tournament and walked away with the bronze medal.
Yeah, I think I just was thinking about our lineup. I think we had 5 out of 7 starters were new Olympians. And even Matt was in a brand new position that he had just started maybe 2 years before that. So we were super inexperienced. I think it was almost just ignorance is bliss towards come like end of the tournament. It didn't start that way, but we just somehow came together, fought super hard. We're a really close-knit team, and that really helped as well. I just think 5 years down the road, you understand these situations a little bit better. You've played against better competition for a longer amount of time, and I hope that experience helps us.
Yeah, speaking of, you know, just the level of competition in play, how different is the pressure during an Olympic match compared to, you know, a standard international match?
I mean, that's a great question. It's so funny to hear people say, oh, it's just another match. You know, you try to trick yourself into that, but until you step on the court and you feel that energy and the noise and the feel of the court and, yeah, the pressure of your hometown and the U.S. and USA Volleyball and your club teams overseas, you know, it is different. I'm just going to be honest. I think if you accept that it's different earlier and quicker, maybe you're going to move past that a little bit faster, but it is a little bit more extreme. I would say coming from Honolulu, where my brother and Micah Christensen are from, they don't know about VNL. Like, they don't pay attention to VNL, but were we in the newspaper every single day leading up to the Olympics? Yes. So it is different. You know, we felt the weight of the state maybe on our shoulders, and we were the only Olympians from Hawaii at the time. So yeah, you feel it. It's a different sense of pressure, but at the same time, they say, what, pressure is a privilege. You want that pressure. Why wouldn't you want that pressure? So it's, if you can kind of get that mindset and accept that it's going to be a little bit more difficult, then I think you can move past it quicker.
Mm-hmm. And just speaking of pressure overall, you know, you've also had the privilege of representing the U.S. on 4 different national teams. So has the feeling of wearing, you know, just USA on your jersey changed since your, you know, first debut? I believe it was on the boys youth national team, am I correct?
Oh, you're going back.
Oh, we're going way back. Yeah.
I would say it's different. I think back in 2006, when I went to the Dominican Republic for my first tournament, you don't really know, you don't really get it. You're just kind of there to have fun and play and be with the boys and try to win a medal. I think it's definitely a different stage when you're playing on the national team and at the Olympics, and it's pressure, but it's a great feeling and something that I wouldn't trade for the world. I know that it just brings a lot of pride to me and my family, and we're just trying to represent ourselves well and our country on the biggest stage.
You mentioned just then making your family proud. What was it like to win an Olympic medal with your brother?
Oh, it was a dream come true. I'm someone that has been with me my entire life, obviously, and my entire volleyball career. I think it was, I don't know, it's hard to put into words. It was amazing. It was a dream come true. It was super special. My whole family was there for the match, immediate family, and some other relatives. So just coming from a volleyball family and knowing that we had trained our whole life for that kind of moment, it was super special to be there. And then also to win a medal. So super thankful that he was there as well with me. I don't think I could have done it without him. So, just a great feeling.
There's some great photos of you two from Rio that, you know, just hit me in the feels every time I see them.
Yeah, for sure. I think we've been on a really interesting volleyball journey. We've always played volleyball together against each other.
Yeah.
You know, we went to different schools, so we played against each other in high school, and then we joined together at Stanford. Yeah, we joined together at Stanford, won a national championship there, and then actually have played 2 years together overseas, and then also like 2 or 3 years against each other overseas. So it's this kind of back and forth. Obviously, I would love for him to be on my team every single time, but it was just all worth it in the end that we finally won that medal together after being through so many experiences together.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that documentary to come out. You know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime story right there. And,
who would play you in a documentary?
Who'll play yourself? What are you talking about?
I mean, I feel like
a movie, I guess.
Capable of playing myself.
Well, before we wrap up, I think you answered every question amazingly. So again, thank you for that. Do you want to, you know, plug in any social media accounts, a YouTube channel of any sort, you know?
Well, I am on social media, everyone. My Instagram is just at Eric Shoji, my name, and that's also my YouTube. So it's pretty simple. But yeah, I love interacting with fans there and answering questions and doing my thing there. So it's been fun.
I've been enjoying the Athletes Unlimited top five highlights that you've been reacting to. And I want to ask, do you, how many pins do you keep next to you? Just keep a box of pins next to you that you just two?
You know what? It's going to be so funny. Like, not that I'm expecting gifts from fans or anything, but I feel like people are going to start giving me pens, which I'm going to take. I appreciate a good pen. But yeah, it's just my thing to just like,
just throw the pin in. That gets me every time.
Like, I think that I flinch every time. You should. I hope you do, because I want people to get attention for that play.
Yeah. Because there's been some incredible plays. Yeah.
If you get a pen throw, it's either a spectacular play or like kind of a boring play, but like a volleyball eye saw it and it's like amazing technique. Like a nice pass. Like, I might throw a pen at you for a nice pass and people are gonna be like, why?
That's the Eric Shoji seal of approval, right?
It is my, I guess, seal of approval. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's an honor to get a pen.
Yeah. You should just hope to get an Eric Shoji.
like Steve Aoki, you go to one of his shows, he's like got like 40 cakes lined up. Same thing with the pens.
Yeah. Yep.
For sure. I mean, that should just be your goal, to get a pen thrown at you. I'm totally kidding.
It's my goal now. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just gonna throw a pen at you, Steven. Actually. I'm just gonna throw a pen at you.
So I'm gonna make a new episode about pen throwing. Got enough content there.
Well, hey, Eric, thank you so much for taking the time again. I know it's late there, so we'll let you get going, and good luck in your upcoming match.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you
again. See you guys soon.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Eric. Bye.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Wow. Always great to talk to Eric. Anytime I see him, we always have a good time. We always have fun. His karaoke story. I think that was the first time I met Eric. And we've been giving each other a hard time since then. But yeah, always fun.
What a time.
He did not appreciate my rendition of Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks. But
I don't think Garth Brooks would have appreciated it either. So, I mean, maybe.
I got a fist bump from Matt Anderson, though. So there you go.
Did you record it? Was there a picture?
No, but
all right, didn't happen.
I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. So Eric was in Rio. He is working on.
I'm throwing pens at Steven. Yeah, I got a highlighter too.
It is a podcast, and you can't see it, but he's throwing pens.
Yep,
he's doing the Eric Shoji.
Yep, signature move.
Eric was in Rio. That was his first Olympics. He got the bronze medal. He's pushing for a spot on the Tokyo roster. Man. Recording from home, working remote. You guys can't see either, but Clarence's cat just walked across the screen.
Yes, that is my cat named PK, and he loves to appear during the most inconvenient times, just like now. But
podcast just Scott.
Unofficially. But just to touch back on Eric Shoji's story, his bronze medal story, just their adversity of just getting to the bronze medal match itself is just crazy. 9 a.m., like he said, volleyball players don't like mornings. We don't like to play early in the mornings. He didn't even have his coffee yet. There's probably.
I'm actually a morning person, but I have to have my coffee. I like my slow mornings with my coffee.
See, I don't drink coffee. So that's a little.
There you go.
A little bit of difference there. But the fact that, you know, closing ceremonies are happening at the same time, and they had to walk about 20 minutes, which made them miss about half of their warmups. Like, it's insane. Just the literal roadblocks that come into play during the Olympics. It's insane.
Yeah. And even, you know, hearing about that too, even at the highest level, the biggest stage, the Olympic Games, things still happen. You know, you still got to adapt to that. And and fight back, even in those big moments where you're trying to win a medal, trying to get on the podium.
Yeah.
You have to walk 15, 20 minutes to the arena because your bus got stopped on the road.
I know. And, I love that he didn't use that as an excuse to really explain, you know, being down to the first two sets to Russia during that match. And it proves that the game is never over until it's actually over. Like, there's always a chance to fight. There's always a chance to come together, get together on the same page and win. And it proved to produce a bronze medal out of that. So that's just exciting. And again, I saw the game too. I wasn't part of USA Volleyball during the match, but I definitely made sure I tuned into that. And it was probably one of the greatest matches I've seen just from a comeback standpoint.
Yeah. One of the best comeback wins I've ever seen, to be down two sets to Russia and come back to win in five, was incredible. And an emotional roller coaster for sure. Talking specifically about his motivation to push for Tokyo, that bronze medal, obviously great to finish an Olympic Games with a medal and on that podium, but they, you know, for how young they were, they actually felt like they belonged in the final, and it was kind of a bittersweet feeling. They feel like they have unfinished business heading into Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Now that they're a little bit more of a veteran squad, a lot of their Olympic rookies from Rio are returning. So they're really excited and energized to get back in the gym and start training for that.
And it's crazy to touch back and circle back around to a lot of our other athletes that we've had on here, this past first episode, that are talking about their status in their Olympic and Paralympic journey going into 2021, being defending gold medalists, being that hungry contender, being, arguably number two in the world from a beach standpoint. It's just everything. And it just builds to the hype of 2021. What's going to happen? I'm on the edge of my seat. You can't see it, but I'm on the edge of my office chair.
The Tokyo hype is building up for sure. And here we are 100 days out. We're really excited and definitely excited to watch the men's indoor national team play. And for their, like Eric said, they had 5 out of 7 starters were new Olympians in Rio, and they're all coming back and trying to fight for a spot on the Tokyo roster. So for him to say, they have unfinished business and they felt like they belonged in the final, back in Rio when they were so young, such a young team, only gets me more excited to watch them play in Tokyo.
And it's just speaking of, excitement and overall pressure, just 3 members of that roster are now medalists who are originally from Honolulu, which is insane. Yeah. Representation matters, putting Honolulu, Hawaii on the map. So congratulations to the Shoji brothers for that. And I believe Mika Christensen is from there too. I'm sorry if I butchered your first name, sir.
Micah Christensen. Yeah.
I've always been saying like Mika for some odd reason since
I've heard it pronounced that way too, but yeah, it is Micah Christensen. But yeah, having three Hawaiians represented on that team is pretty cool, and pretty cool for the state and really cool for the Shoji family too. They're one of the big volleyball families in the volleyball community. Most notably, their dad, Kabika and Eric's dad, Dave, was the head coach for the Hawaii women's volleyball team for over 40 years. And we talked a little bit about, what it felt like for Eric and the family for Eric and Kabika to win a medal together, an Olympic medal together. And they grew up playing volleyball together at every level, club, high school, college, professionally, and now on the national team. They've played together this whole journey, and to win an Olympic medal is pretty incredible, and gotta feel good for the family too.
Yeah, I really meant it when I said I'm waiting for that documentary to air one day. Like that is a text. You can't write a story like that. Just family history to their journey that's still being written to this day, going into, the Olympics in July and, the rest of their careers. It's amazing. Like I said, Eric, start working on that documentary, getting it produced and written, because that's something that a lot of people will really appreciate, just to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming. The Soji documentary will definitely come for sure. But yeah, we're really excited for the men's team. They'll be, most of them will be coming back from their pro seasons here soon. I think in the next month or so, and they'll be back together and start training for Tokyo. So really excited to cheer them on. And always great to talk to Eric and Tori too. And we enjoyed those conversations, and I hope you all did too. But that's a wrap for episode 2, Clarence. I know we got a few events coming up. Do you want to tell everybody what's coming up?
Absolutely. Just before I get over to the events, just to remind Eric, I will have my pens ready. I'll be watching you, and you know, every outstanding play you make, every volleyball play you make, I will be launching a pen at my TV, in support of you. So best of luck there. But, to get back to these reminders, again, we have the 4-Star Beach Classic event going on in Cancun from April 16th to May 2nd. And remember, these are 3 different events happening within this 3-week span. So very exciting. A lot of beach action in the next few days. So be sure to stay tuned and tune in for that one. We also have our USAV Open Nationals registration closing on the 22nd. So the deadline is approaching. Make sure you visit our website, usavolleyball.org, to find out more information on that. Same thing goes with our Collegiate National Championship at Opens. That registration closes on April 29th. Again, more information on our website. Make sure you tune in and visit that for more. And lastly, Girls Junior National Championships, our 18s, are coming up on April 23rd through the 25th in Columbus, Ohio. I hate to keep redirecting you all to our USA Volleyball website, but tune in and visit and make sure to find out more information there.
Yeah, you can't register anywhere else, so you have to go to the website. Yeah, there's no other options. Clarence, this is episode 2, the end of episode 2. I'm excited. This is awesome. We made it this far already.
Man, we got a third one coming up, right?
We have a third one coming up, and it's actually live right now, to continue our conversation about Tokyo. And we'll talk specifically about beach with Kelly Clays from our beach national team and USA Volleyball's director of beach national team, Sean Scott. So go over there and listen right now. It's available today.
And we promise it's not as long as episode 1.
That was a beast of an episode. We had 3 awesome guests. Some great conversations there. So definitely encourage you to get through that episode. You won't regret it. It's a marathon, but you won't regret it. I promise. But yeah, listeners, rate and review, share with friends, subscribe on all platforms. You can get our podcasts, listen to our podcasts on all platforms, wherever you get your podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a wrap. Thank you for listening to the USA Volleyball Show.
And we'll see you next time.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson, produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producers are Kyle Scholzen and Laura Fawcett. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.